From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of January, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the Mississippi River is open for traffic a day after being shut down. The IMF is looking for a modest uptick in the global economy, but it's cautionary. And the CME Group is again looking at the hours it is open to trade grains. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you what crop insurance premiums for the 2013 growing season might look like as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Wednesday afternoon, futures were lower today. The March contract and the soft red winter wheat at $7.74¾ settled down four and a half cents on the day. It was the May was down 4¾ at $7.83¾. July at $7.88¾ a bushel, down 4½ cents in Chicago for the soft red. The hard red in Kansas City, a settlement price at $8.48¾ a bushel, down 12¼ cents. From the corn pit back in Chicago, a 7¾ cent loss in the nearby March at $7.20¾, a settlement price there. May futures at $7.22¾. Down 7½ for the day. And July at 7.17 finished 5¼ lower. September at $6.12, 3/4 of a cent lower. December contract, or the new crop in the corn pit, at $5.90¼, up a quarter on the afternoon. And the March of next year at $6.25, up a quarter as well. March bean futures at $14.37 on a settlement, down 14¾. The May contract at $14.26¾, down 12½. July soybeans 11 cents lower at $14.19¾, and the September futures at $13.47 settled 8 cents lower. November beans at $13.45, the new crop down 8 on the afternoon. Bean meal futures at $4.16.50, down 5.10. Bean oil on the day at $52.03, 40 cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago, April contract, $130.45, down 2½ cents. June, we're up a dime at $126.62½. The feeders finished the Jans at $144.20, down 20 cents. March at $147.15, 15 higher. And lean hogs in the April, $88 even, 27½ lower. Let's check the outside markets. Nearby crude oil futures in the March contract at $95.39 a barrel, down $1.29. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline for the afternoon, finished up at $2.83¢. That's about 0.6% higher. The ethanol at $2.37½, a penny and 0.9 lower. And the difference between the two and the spread is 0.46¢, 2½ cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.55¢, just about unchanged. Heating oil at $3.08½, a penny and 0.7 higher. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,686.70. Down $6.50 for the day. Gold futures finished at $1,686.70, down $6.50 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 20% chance of snow, mostly cloudy, a high of just 27 degrees on a west-southwest wind at 10 miles an hour. That'll feel actually pretty good this afternoon compared to what we've had recently. Mostly cloudy this evening and a low of 5, so back into the cold. Wind chill values between -1 and -11 degrees. And then tomorrow, partly sunny skies and a high of 21, wind chills of -10 to 0 on a north wind at 7 to 13 miles an hour tomorrow. During the evening tomorrow night, 50% chance of snow. That'll come after midnight, mostly cloudy and a low of 17 degrees. And then on Friday, A chance of snow coming before noon. Flurries after that, mostly cloudy and a high of 30. Southwest winds at 8 to 15 miles an hour. They'll come out of the west to northwest in the afternoon then, with a chance of precipitation set at 30%. Partly cloudy on Friday evening and a low of 13. More on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. This is Illinois Public Media. Well, it is the 23rd day of January, a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start out with just the markets because it was lower today. What turned futures down?
Well, I think there were a number of things that were going on. You know, we went up and got close to that 62% retracement again on the March corn. Only 7:30 today, but 7:34 is the area that we've been trading in. Saw a little bit of rain come in the forecast for Kansas in the wheat area, and when wheat began to sink, so did corn. And I think we just plain saw some profit-taking come in, to be expected. I think consolidation is the name of the game at the moment. When you look at beans, beans went up, of course, and got to 1458. 1461 is the 62% retracement of the move down from that $15 level. And so, you know, we're flirting with some very important areas, and I think the market is just not quite ready to go there. South America came in with a little bit of precipitation reports, and profit-taking just came into play. So I guess up 13 today or down 13 today is very little compared to what we were up yesterday on beans. And so consolidation is the name of the game.
Mississippi River, been in the news the last couple of days. We'll hear more about that this afternoon. It's open again at this time.
Well, that's a good thing. I was looking, in fact, you know, I'm doing the Pontiac meeting tonight, and just looking at the comparisons, this morning we were negative 405 on the Mississippi. Negative 5.5 is considered zero in pretty much the area where we see them start to shut down. So if you project out, and if we were to have the same changes in the height of the river between January and April and April and October, it would not bode well for us because it would indicate that in October we'd be negative 6.08 if that were the case. And, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen, but it just points out how dire the situation is and how difficult it's going to be for us to be real competitive. You know, eventually it's going to affect basis. It doesn't right now because everybody wants corn. Everybody's trying to move everything they can at this point, so they'll raise basis to get the grain. But it's going to help. It's going to hurt us when we get into this next year.
Hey, one other note, and I saw this one come across to the wire service. The CME Group has decided it wants to do a survey and figure out if everybody likes, I guess. I'm not quite certain. Maybe you've taken this survey, the hours that grains are traded electronically in open outcry at this point.
I have not taken the survey yet, although I have to admit that I kind of chuckled. You know, we always think that these huge companies have all their ducks in a row. Well, this seems to be a little bit backwards, I think. You know, it seems like a survey should have been done before. But I think what the reality is the CME has not experienced the big increases in trading that they anticipated, but costs are up. And so now let's find out what we all think about it, and then if they decide that they're going to back down on the hours, well, then it'll be our decision, not theirs, you know. And so, I mean, I know how it works, you know. And so kind of interesting to see them actually out there and doing that. But I guess I don't know how I feel about it anymore. You know, I've kind of gotten used to the markets. I'm not thrilled about Sunday nights at 5 o'clock, to be honest with you. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'm glad to see that they're out there doing that.
After going through the January reports being released at 11 o'clock Central Time or during the trade, how'd you feel about that? And then, of course, you can just couple that right on into the 3 o'clock Friday afternoon cold storage and the cattle reports.
Sure. How did I feel about it? You know, I didn't think I was going to like it, to be honest with you, at 11 o'clock, but it gave me a lot of time to be able to work with clients who I maybe couldn't reach or you know, who were finally getting back to us in advance of the report, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I'm not totally sold on the idea that it's a bad thing. It's just if we get into something really, really wild, well, then, you know, 3 hours does not seem like enough time to be able to trade the market, but I didn't mind it. The cold storage report yesterday certainly didn't do us any favors when it came to the live cattle or to the hogs, actually. And, you know, when you watch the action today, we had been up nicely on cattle yesterday after Japan announced that they might start taking our cattle that are over 30 months actually as early as February 1st, which could be a great thing for us. And so, you know, traders ran to the market, started to raise it. Then cold starch came out. This morning we went down. Now we're back up just slightly, and so are feeder cattle. Hogs, you know, they're carrying a really, they're actually trading lower than what the lean hog index is at the moment on the nearbys. But we saw a lot of bull spreading in hogs today. In other words, you know, buying the nearbys and selling the deferreds. And I think that's just a reflection of the fact that that spread is extremely wide. So not good news, and yet we kind of shook it off after all the tough trading that we had last week.
And the cattle on feed report is due out Friday afternoon.
Right, right. And, you know, again, it's one of those situations where it'll be interesting to see it. You know, the expectation is always that we're just going to continue to abandon. But for the first time, we have a lot of cattle clients, and for the first time yesterday, I actually heard people talking about, you know, I'm not sure that it pays for me to raise these cattle in contrast to just raising the corn. And so, you know, that could make a big difference, but we'll see once. They're going to still, you know, cattlemen are cattlemen. They love their animals. They're going to try and find every way they can to raise animals. But at the same time, it's still got a pencil.
A couple of other items in the news. The Brits are thinking about taking an exit out of the European Union. And then, of course, in relative context to that, some currency wars around.
Oh, definitely. You know, the currency wars have been something that have been going on for quite a while. In fact, we saw them back in the 90s already, you know, and China has probably been the leader in playing the currency wars, but we're starting to see it happen at all levels. We're seeing it happen in Brazil. If you look at our competitive edge with Brazil, since they've been starting to control the real, we just have not been as competitive, and it's been much tougher. And I think, you know, people don't think about that, but when you think about a currency war, you know, it's controlling the value of the currency to try and control the trade value against the U.S. dollar. There's a great book out on it called Currency Wars by James Rickard, and if anybody's interested in reading more up on it. But these are the kinds of wars, I think, Todd, that we're going to be facing as the years go on. There'll be less of a face-to-face confrontation and more of this type of aggression and control in the marketplace.
The last day of next week, we'll start into February for the crop insurance setting month.
Right, right. And, you know, not only is it the crop insurance setting month, it is the Chinese Lunar New Year month. They're going to be off from the 9th to the 15th. Isn't that great, right? The 8th is when the USDA report comes out. And I saw today, you know, that the House voted on the debt ceiling. To put off the debt ceiling. So I was very concerned that we were going to be battling that at the same time, but we still haven't seen the Senate vote on it. It supposedly carries don't get it taken care of, don't get any pay for those guys. And so we'll see if it actually works. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. And of course, you know, when we look at what the February insurance, crop insurance numbers are, that's certainly going to give us a better idea of how low we may go on the December 13 actual futures contract. You know, I saw today that 2012 crop insurance so far has run $12.3 billion, and they expect that it could rise to as much as $20 billion, with 63% of that going to corn producers and 13% to the bean farmers. And so, you know, that this is not a small issue, and with the weather the way it is and the way it's looking, could become another big, big issue again this coming year.
And finally, you're going to be involved with us at WILL Will Ag really intensively over the next several weeks. Tonight, you'll be in Pontiac along with Bill Gentry and Mike Suzzolo and Dave Dickey at the Elks Club. That starts at 7 o'clock if you haven't registered for the dinner. 6 o'clock if you have, and you can probably still call First Farm Credit Services. We've sold about a third of the tickets, Jackie, for the All-Day Ag Outlook. The number to call is 217-333-7300. And Friday night, we'll do Voices of Illinois Agriculture.
Oh, I'm excited. I don't know. You can't see me smiling, but I am. I'm really looking forward to going to Pontiac tonight. I have a meeting down in Venedy tomorrow, down in southern Illinois, which I also am very excited about. And Friday night, well, I can't even express how I feel about being able to be involved in something with Orion Samuelson and yourself and Wayne Nelson, Gary Schnitke. Should just be a wonderful time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
That is Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Now here's Dave Dickey with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Mississippi River Shipping is back in business again near St. Louis a day after a key lock and dam was closed when a barge damaged a gate. The auxiliary lock near Granite City, Illinois, reopened about 10 p.m. Tuesday evening. The shutdown, though, is causing a lingering snarl of barge traffic. About 106 barges and 19 vessels were lined up this morning to pass through the lock. The gate to the 600-foot lock was damaged about 5 a.m. Tuesday morning when a barge got caught up on it. The International Monetary Fund is projecting a modest uptick in global economic growth for 2013. But an IMF report released today also warns that problems in the Eurozone and the U.S. could derail momentum. The report calls for global growth of 3.5% in 2013 after 3.2% in 2012. The report forecasts 2% growth for the U.S. in 2013. CME Group announced yesterday that it's surveying industry participants about its expanded grain and oilseed trading hours. CME will gather feedback through an online survey, which will be available through January 31st, and will host several focus groups in addition to ongoing one-on-one conversations with customers. Electronic grain trading hours were expanded last May to 21 hours per day. The largest U.S. dairy cooperative has agreed to pay $158.6 million to settle an antitrust lawsuit alleging it conspired to suppress milk prices paid to dairy farmers. The class action lawsuit alleged Dairy Farmers of America, a dairy farmer cooperative, worked with Dean Foods Company, the largest U.S. milk processor, and other organizations to limit competition across the U.S. Southeast for farmers' milk, thereby depressing prices. The agreement pushes total settlements in the antitrust case to more than $300 million. McDonald's Corporation's fourth quarter profit rose 1.4% as the company's U.S. sales trends rebounded, though business in Europe and Japan continued to lag. McDonald's reported a profit of $1.4 billion, or $1.38 a share, up from $1.38 billion, or $1.33 a share a year earlier. U.S. sales at restaurants open at least 13 months rose 0.9% in December. However, negative customer traffic in Europe and continued weakness in Japan offset its U.S. recovery. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media and the host of this evening's Ag Outlook panel to be held at the Elks Club in Pontiac, Illinois. That starts at 6 with a reservation if you have one. You probably can call First Farm Credit in Pontiac if you have not for dinner. But the 7 o'clock Ag Outlook panel certainly open to the public. Bill Gentry will be there from Risk Management, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. That's this evening at the Elks Club in Pontiac. Dinner's at 6, the Ag Outlook panel at 7 o'clock. Now up next, farmers are worried and wondering just how the drought of 2012 will influence the premiums they'll pay for crop insurance this year. I'll have the scoop from Gary Schnitke. A About 80% of the crop insurance sold in the state of Illinois is RP, or revenue protection. It provides insurance against revenue losses and includes a price guarantee. Should the price of crops like corn and soybean be higher at harvest than when the insurance was purchased, the base price set in February, then the price goes higher. Again, RP is the most popular crop insurance option sold in the state of Illinois. You would think the price of this insurance, most other federally backed crop insurance products too, would be higher this season than last year. That won't be the case in Illinois, says Gary Schnitte, despite the payouts made because of the drought of 2012.
For 2013 compared to 2012, and over much of the northern and central part of the state, RP premiums, if we have the same projected price and volatility, will be lower than they were in 2012. And we see price decreases of in the northern and central part of the state of anywhere from 0% up to 7% at some of the higher coverage levels. Those are price reductions. Those are occurring primarily because RMA did a rating study and found that Illinois farmers tend to pay more in than they get out and are adjusting premiums downward.
RMA, USDA Risk Management Agency, is doing some actuarial adjustments to crop insurance premiums. Those rating study adjustments, says University of Illinois Schnitke, are ongoing.
This rating study and the resulting changes in rates are supposed to be phased in over a three-year period. Last year was the first year. This year is the second year, and we'll have another premium reduction next year.
Yeah, it's Gary Schnitke. He's with the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. If you haven't bought your tickets yet for the All-Day Ag Outlook, they're on sale now at 217-333-7300.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
On this Wednesday afternoon, let's check the cash grain market. Scott Butcher of the Andersons in Logansport, Indiana, on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon.
Did the recent tick up in the marketplace, and I know it's down today, but the recent tick in last week, get any movement going for corn or soybeans in your area?
Sure, yeah. We did see after the report, you know, we've really seen some pretty good movement. You know, guys getting a little bit more sold here and there, both corn and soybeans.
And there is that coming in out of the bin, or is it in storage with you?
A little bit of both, Todd. I mean, really, we've seen a little bit of movement out of the bin, and, you know, I would say, you know, maybe a little bit more DP and, you know, some pricing basis stuff, you know, as well. So maybe a little bit more than new movement out of the bin.
How about new crop sales?
Nothing. Still not much activity in new crop. I mean, it's really been slow, and you know, the report did not help that either.
We hear on and off reports that ethanol plants are running at or below margins. How about the one there in Logansport?
We're doing okay right now. You know, I think, you know, we're continuing to grind as much corn as we can here. You know, yes, margins are not, you know, they're not the best right now, but definitely still trying to run the plant as much as we can.
And your bids for the day?
Right now for cash corn, we are $7.50 and soybeans $14.47.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Scott Butcher. He's with the Andersons. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Rhubarb Pie Day. It's also St. Bernard of Vianney Day, patron of farm workers and field hands. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, the first bridge over the Mississippi River opened in what is now Minneapolis, Minnesota. In 1862, 1,400 varieties of grapevines were brought from Europe and planted in California in the Sonoma Valley. Years later, after blight destroyed much of Europe's vineyards, some of these same vines, now on resistant American rootstock, helped save the European wine industries. In 1932, the El Salvador Army killed 4,000 protesting farmers. The farmers were protesting layoffs and wage cutbacks in El Salvador's western coffee region during the Depression. In 1961, Wilhelm Koppers died, a Roman Catholic priest and cultural anthropologist. He developed theories on the origins of society based on studies of food-gathering tribes. And in 1998, Pope John Paul II condemned a U.S. embargo against Cuba. The embargo, begun in 1962, was enacted after the Castro government confiscated private property of U.S. citizens and the United Fruit Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 23rd day of January, 2012. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City left us a note this morning about the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. He's here now with an update.
Additional cold air will likely dominate a big part of the Midwest for yet another couple of days, and then we'll likely see a bit of a warming trend and a change towards wetter conditions. Well, the temperatures tomorrow morning will be absolutely bitter cold in the upper parts of the Midwest. Portions of Minnesota will likely be in the negative 20s and negative 30s. In fact, some of the computer forecast model data suggest maybe an extreme in the northeast corner of Minnesota, down close to minus 40. Don't know that that will necessarily verify, but it'll be cold no matter how you slice it. The temperatures will not get quite as cold as far to the south as you might imagine with this environment. We'll expect to see some more single-digit teens to occur tomorrow morning across the lower parts of the Midwest. But for the most part, that is not likely to create a problem for most of our soft wheat crop across the region. Temperatures in the afternoons as we move forward through these next few days will start off rather cold and then turn a little bit warmer as we move towards the end of the weekend and into the early part of next week. Most of the warmest weather will hold off for a while, though, until we get in front of a storm system that will likely be moving into the region as we get into the early to middle part of next week. Temperatures will be warmest here this afternoon and again on Friday afternoon in the lowermost parts of the region. We'll likely see readings at those times in the 40s and perhaps even a few 50-degree readings. I think Friday afternoon will probably be the warmest, and we'll see the temperatures over 50 degrees in a few locations in the extreme southwest corner of the region, while in the meantime, it will be quite cold still in the northern parts of the region with negative and positive single-digit readings in eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, and 20s and 30s across a big part of the eastern Midwest. But the temperatures will continue to warm up, though, as we move towards the early and middle parts of next week, and highs at that point in time, let's say on Monday and Tuesday afternoons, will likely vary from the 20s and 30s in the northwestern parts of the region to readings as warm as the 50s and perhaps even a few lower 60s in the southern parts of the region. Well, low temperatures at night, I've already mentioned, for tonight will certainly be extremely cold in the northwest. We'll likely see sub-zero readings through a fair amount of Iowa and northeastern Nebraska, maybe reaching down into northwestern Illinois, very similar to what occurred earlier this week. But we're not going to see temperatures colder than that into the lowermost parts of the region, and that will protect our soft wheat crop for the most part. We are going to see the low temperatures rebound for a brief period on Friday morning, but Saturday morning will be cold again with some more sub-zero readings down into Iowa and parts of Wisconsin and negative 20s maybe in parts of Minnesota. Then we'll look for a more meaningful warming trend that will likely get those low temperatures back into the teens and 20s in the northwest and 30s and perhaps some 40s in the southeast by Tuesday morning. Precipitation across the region will be somewhat limited over these next few days, but a couple of disturbances will bring some light snowfall across the Great Lakes region here in the near term. A disturbance coming across the region on Thursday into Friday will bring a little light snow across the upper parts of the Midwest again, with a dusting to maybe an inch and a half of accumulation possible. That'll be followed by another system that'll come out of the central plains here late in the weekend and produce a wintry mix of precipitation and some rain across the area from Kansas and Missouri into the heart of the Midwest.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget, if you haven't dialed in yet for your tickets to the All-Day Agricultural Outlook, it's scheduled for Tuesday, the 5th day of March. Tickets are on sale now and going very quickly. The number to call is 217-333-7300.